right. Well, I said many times before, you folks are, you guys are just a great blessing to me, and I'm just thankful in so many ways. I could just name off a slew of things that you folks do. You're just the volunteer spirit here is off the charts. You love working, you love helping. Thank you for that. Thank you for those who serve in various capacities. What a great blessing you are to me. I'm thankful for the men who fill the pulpit. They do such a great job, you know. Thank you for that. And Brother Jones, I'll just say, Brother Jones is one of those. Brother Jones and, well, Brother Jason and Emily, I'll just say it that way. You guys, what a blessing you are. Thank you, both of you and your family. And, you know, it's been over 8 years you guys have been here. That time's gone by so fast. It's crazy. But I'm just so thankful, you know, Emily is faithful, and she teaches Sunday school and does so much here, teaches in the ladies' Bible study. Your kids, Morgan, you've just been a blessing to us playing the piano and being, you know, helping out with cubbies. And then Micah and Mason, those guys are great. I love them. And Brother Jason, thank you. You know, you got a great family. Thank you for being just a faithful man. Thank you for being the deacon that you've been, and such a help to me in so many ways. Thank you that you head up security around here. That's a tall task. Amen. You know, you don't realize, man, there's things going on, and they've got great protocol, and I pity the person who comes in here and tries to do any harm. We got that well covered. Yeah. And then and thank you for just being faithful Sunday school teacher. He always brings he always delivers the goods. And so I asked him to preach tonight or teach, whatever you're going to do, brother. But you come at this time and you give to us what the Lord's given to you. Thank you again, brother, for everything.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Love you, brother. Thank you. Sir. Thank you. Yeah, I do appreciate the opportunity that Pastor has given me to share a little bit what God has given me. And, you know, you've heard me say before, you know, it's we take this time right now very serious. What the Lord has given us, because like I said a few Sundays ago, and it's been a couple months, but I said, hey, whatever we are giving you guys through preaching or teaching, it just gives us that more responsibility to ensure that we're fulfilling what we're preaching and teaching, right? But I want to share a couple things with you tonight, and Brother Stan had just a great hymn, because it's going to go perfect with what I'm going to be preaching tonight. But first and foremost, exactly. I know, the Lord is good. I was listening to that hymn, and I was like, Father, you're so good. You just work everything out without having to talk to somebody else to organize things. You just work everything out every single time, and I appreciate that. But I would like to say, yes, like Pastor did mention, you know, we've been here for about 8 years, and I'm so thankful for this church. You know, he said it was, I'm a blessing to you. It's because you guys are just a blessing to me. And I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate you guys always following up through, you know, a card or email or text or whatever it might be. And just seeing how I'm doing, how things are going, and you're asking me how things are going to go on Thursday, and you're saying you'll be praying for me with my surgery coming up, and I don't want to be anywhere else. This is my church, and I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys, and it's been a fun ride so far, amen. And I'm looking forward to see what the Lord will do here, especially with that back 40, as I call it. And get ourselves a nice big old gym and grow the Awana and grow the youth group and have some basketball tournaments and volleyball tournaments. There's no need to go back to Grace Bible Church, because we'll have a gym right back here. We do it whenever we want and do it for free. Amen. But no, the Lord is good. And yes, it's been, I'm just so thankful for God's grace and his mercy in my life and how he's just taking care of myself and my family. And just growing up in the ministry, and you've heard me before. I've been in church 46 years and 9 months of my life, and I loved every bit of it. Amen. Okay, so tonight, message that I'm going to preach tonight. Of course, Pastor gave us a little bit of insight of what the title is going to be. The title is going to be the message tonight is The Power of Prayer and a Hymn. And just like what Pastor Brother Stan was saying, so if you have, it's 663, the one we just sang. And let me tell you, before we turn your Bibles into this particular passage of Scripture that we're going to read, you're finally going to put it together. But I think it was Make Me a Blessing. Was that 633 or 623? 663. So this individual in the Bible I can't say for a fact because this hymn came out a lot later, but I'm going to say he did. I'm going to say this individual that we're going to be talking about in this particular passage of Scripture was singing this particular hymn right here, 663. He was wanting to ensure that whatever he was going through in his life, that he still wanted to be a blessing to somebody else. And I think we need to be the same way. Just ensure life's circumstances, life's issues, life's difficulties. You might be wondering, man, why am I going through this? I'm having trouble. I'm having difficulty through this. But have you ever stopped and just taken a moment to think that what the Lord is putting you through is for the benefit of someone else? And what I mean by that is that whatever you might be going through health-wise, financially-wise, whatever it might be, he's putting you through that to put you in exactly the spot he wants you to put in to be speaking to someone who doesn't know the Lord. You know, I'll get into, you know, my hospital stay here in a little bit, but I guess I'll share it with you now. But, man, going to the hospital for a kidney stone, and here I am staying 3 nights. What? And then by Sunday, Christmas Eve, I'm thinking, Father, Lord, I just want to be home. I just want to go home. And then I started thinking, well, Lord, I started praying. I said, well, there's got to be a reason. And that's where I had some peace, and I, you know, started just singing some hymns and thinking, Lord, you know what? I'm here for a reason. I don't know what that reason is. Yes, would I like to go home? Yes, but I'm not going to right now until I left Christmas night, I think it's when I left. But the Lord has a purpose in everything. And it might seem difficult for you right now in the moment that you're going through and the difficulties. Just realize that God has a plan, and it might be something that at the tail end of it, you realize, Lord, thank you. You put me in a position to help somebody else. And it's always a blessing. Make me a blessing to somebody else. Yeah. And then when you actually get to see that blessing, even though the difficulty you went through, wow, praise the Lord. Man, that was good. Yeah. Amen. So turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And, of course, we'll look at, all of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. Pastor actually kind of alluded about this, not this Sunday morning, but the last Sunday. And I talked a little bit about Paul and Silas and the difficulties that they were running into in the Philippian jail. And we all know the story, right? Why they actually ended up there is because they were doing their job, right? Their job was to what? See souls saved, to preach the gospel, to do what they needed to do for the Lord. And then in turn, they ended up in jail because they saw Lydia getting converted, right? And then from that point, those people were kind of mad and say, okay, we're going to put you in the jail. Now, not jail. I'm talking about the inner jail. You know, bad stuff, right? But look at verse 25, and we'll read through verse 41. So Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 31 says this, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Woo! Man, you talk about someone who is filled with the Holy Ghost, know exactly that he has to be there for some reason or another, but he was doing what God wanted him to do, and he ended up in the prison. But he's still at midnight. Can we even right now stay up till midnight and sing and pray? I don't know. But they were in prison, in the inner prison, locked up, you name it. I mean, and they were singing praises unto God. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone. Every prisoner in that particular jail. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28, I like this. It's one of my favorites. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. For what? For we are all here. Every single one of the prisoners. And why is that? Because they heard Paul and Silas actually singing and praying. And it was contagious. We will only know until we get to heaven, but who knows how many prisoners through this particular situation got saved. They didn't want to leave. I'll tell you a funny story about here in a minute about people leaving the prison, but hold on. Let's see, verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that is the jailer, right? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And we know the rest of the story, right? And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for Paul and Silas and their faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, we thank you so much for this evening. I pray that these few moments that we'll be able to preach and teach to the folks. Thank you for being out here, for those that are out here tonight. Pray that you just allow us to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So like I said in verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Thought about that verse. During college, I had to do several internships. One of the internships is probation and parole. The other one was patrol on the road. And the third one was spending some time in the jail. Well, unbeknownst to me, I was working at the main terminal. And one of the prisoner correction officers told me to hit this button for this one cell to open. And I hit the wrong one. And the one that I hit was this big old boy, probably 6'7", 6'8". And as soon as I hit that button, the doors, of course, came open, and he just ran out. He didn't want to stay. He wanted to leave. And I thought, man, Lord, I wish he could have heard Paul and Silas singing right now. But I'll never forget that moment. I probably would have been terminated if I was working, but that part of the internship went really well. But I just think about that verse and thinking, man, yeah, I mean, the power of prayer and the power of a hymn, of them singing, led to the salvation, of course, the jailer and his family, and they're his house, and who knows how many other prisoners, we don't know, but they didn't flee. I mean, most prisoners want to be like, I'm out of here, but no. So anyways, we'll get a few points, but my first point is this: God has a plan for your life, and understand that, no matter what your age is, you know, young, old, middle age, whatever, God has a plan for each and every one of you. Through life's difficulties, God's goodness can be shown, can it? No matter what, God is always good, no matter the circumstances that you go through, even in the good times, and we'll look at that in the next point. But are you willing to accept life's difficulties to grow closer to Him? When you are going through a difficulty, are you going to realize and pray, Lord, this is a difficulty I'm going through, but I'm going to pray about it, and you're going to get me through it, and then I'm going to just rely and just have a good time, I'm going to sing about it. I mean, how many of us actually just have a little step, and you're singing, and you're just having a good time, and you're just worshiping God? Songs, there's power in a hymn. There sure is. Turn in your Bibles to, let's go to James. James chapter 1, and look at verse 12. But how many of us, who, a raise of hand, for me, my favorite book of the Bible, I would say, is James. Who else has a favorite book? Yes, ma'am. James as well. There we go. There's two. Yes, ma'am, it's Jackie. Timothy. Okay. Both. Okay. Gospel of John. Okay. Anybody else wants to share? John, too. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Ruth. Okay. Yeah. Brother. Philippians. Yeah. Yeah. That very first Sunday school that we did here that I did was Philippians. That was good. Yes. Romans. Yeah. Romans. Specifically, Romans chapter 12 is probably my most scribbled, highlighted, written in chapter of the entire Bible is Romans chapter 12. Romans 10. Romans 10. Amen. Anybody else? Romans as well. Yes, Ms. Kate? Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, right? Yep, the faith chapter. And 1 John. Amen. Yep, it's good. Hebrews. Yeah, I mean, Hebrews coffee. Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Yeah, amen. But, okay, so, yeah, good stuff. I know, I love James. It got so much good stuff in it. But look at verse 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you not think that Paul was thinking on the same lines? And you should too. I mean, you just never know. But just know that it is a blessing when you go through trials and temptations, because guess what's going to be in store for you? A crown of life, amen? So just know and to accept it, because you will receive a crown of life. Paul accepted his many difficulties and turned them over for good, didn't he? Right? And there's so many other examples in the Bible, and we'll look at a few this evening. But Paul just offers so many good examples in his life for us to take example of and realize that whatever difficulty you're going through, there can be good that can come out of it. And of course, the most important thing is seeing other souls saved. And that's what happened, of course, in the jail, right? And then the jailer and his family and maybe even more prisoners, like I said, has gotten saved. So God has a plan for your life. We don't know what that is. You may know what that is as far as to a certain degree, but Lord can definitely change that, and you need to accept that. Number two, keep praying and singing during our difficulties, right? Who enjoys going through difficulties? Praise the Lord, I do, yes, sir. No, okay, well, it's difficult, right? And there's countless examples in the Bible of those who have had difficulties, but you know what? They saw it through. And I truly believe that they saw it through prayer, and they saw it through singing. So turning your Bibles all the way to the beginning, we kind of almost went into this chapter, I think, this morning. We'll look at Moses, and Pastor keeps taking stuff that I'm going to preach on. Anyways, no, it's good. It's that's the Lord just kind of working things together, which is amazing. But there's some good examples of people, men and women, who just kept on praying and singing during their difficulty. And then Moses, you look at chapter 14, of course, this is coinciding with our Bible reading for the year, right? If you're doing the Bible through the year. And I love this. I absolutely... Exodus 14. Good. See, you guys are paying attention. Good job. Amen. What did I say? What book? I didn't even say anything, did I? Oh, the beginning of the Bible. See? Moses. See, I'm trying to see where you guys know where it's at. Amen. So look at chapter 14. There you go. Chapter 14. Look at 14. 14 of Exodus. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Man, the Lord shall fight for you. Moses is telling the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you. So the difficulties you're going through, the Lord can fight for you. If you go just a few verses over and look at verse 25, this is even more amazing, isn't it? It says this in verse 25 of chapter 14 in Exodus, and it took off their chariot wheels that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Even they knew that the Israelites had God on their side. Man. Now, wouldn't that be nice to be said of all of us here tonight? That, man, that guy right there going through all that stuff, man, the Lord's with him. And a great example of that would be Brother Willett. I mean, some of you have probably seen that little clip of him preaching already with his voice box gone. And I'm assuming, Brother, would you know, did they put something in there to help him speak? A prosthetic thing that he has to touch to, or whatever, I don't know. But anyways, you know and I know that the Lord is working in his life, because he said even after that, he's still preaching. He doesn't have a voice box. And here I am going to have surgery, and I'm all pitying myself. It's going to be bad. Well, you know, look at Brother Willett, man. Just keeps going for the Lord. Voice box gone. He's still preaching. Man, what an example of someone that we know that the Lord is with him. So when life is difficult, take the example of Moses, take the example of Brother Willett, take the example of Daniel in the lion's den. You know he wasn't having a pity party in the lion's den. He was praising God and praying, and the Lord got him through it. Paul and Silas, like I mentioned, I mean, Joseph himself ended up first, what, in a pit? What's going to happen to me? No. He's like, Lord, you got this. Whatever comes out of it happens. Comes out of it, gets sold, gets into Egypt. He's like, oh man, this is horrible. No. Then gets put into jail, and then he's like, no. He just kept fighting and singing and praying unto God. And we all know the end of the story there. Praise the Lord for that. You got Jonah in the well. Man, there's countless stories. Jonah getting swallowed up. You know, he's not in there, oh. No, he knew exactly that he needed to get his heart right, singing and praising unto God and praying and saying, Lord, okay, I'll go. Job, man, here we are. complaining about the littlest things. And they can be big things, but again, the Lord can get us through it. But Job, look at Job, man, losing everything. Even his friends were like, you got something's wrong here. You know, not good. But you know what they did? They kept what? They kept praying and singing. Number three, God's goodness even in the good times. We've all had good times, right? Yeah, there's one, there's two, three, okay, four, five, six. We've all had good times. I've actually had the privilege of seeing my daughter get married to a okay guy. No, I love you, Chris. See my kids born and now all grown up and getting married to my wife. What year are we in? 23? 24? So 24 years? Anyways, but no, God's good even in the good times. And we need to do what? He always is. God is always good, and we need to remember that. Don't ever forget it. Even in your difficult times, God is still good. Right. You know, and it's difficult to say that up here because we all go through it. Just like I said, right, I was in the hospital by day two. I'm like, why am I still here? I just had a kidney stone for crying out loud. Right? But no, the Lord had a purpose, and God's still good. I'm still actually alive to be in the hospital. God is good. Right? Just keep looking forward. Just look forward. But also remember to look back on the good times. Look how God actually worked. Look how God actually saved you from something. Look how God actually brought you through some certain things. I mean, how many of us probably have seen, you know, Lord, I'm praying for this particular bill that needs to be paid and this hospital bill that's coming, whatever it might be. And then you see a check in the mail or you see something happen. And the Lord blesses that way. And God's so good, right? And you just never know. But you just got to look back on the good times. But at the same time, right now, we just need to keep plowing. Just keep going, right? Finish strong, right, is our theme for this particular year. Finish strong. That's what we need to do. It's not going to get any easier. It's going to get even harder. So the ground's going to be a little harder to plow. But guess what? We can still do it. So keep plowing. And then also look forward to what's coming. You know, we could always look forward to next Sunday, of course. We can always look forward to things that are happening in our lives. Family coming and visiting or different things that we might get or whatever it might be. But the most important thing is to realize to look forward to the returning of our Savior. Amen. And that's going to be the good thing. Woo! Look to see what God has for you. So today, as we, you know, pack up and leave, pray and just sing to see, Lord, what do you have for me this week? I mean, we're probably all thinking, oh, man, I got to deal with this at work. Got to deal with that or whatever it might be. But just say, Lord, whatever it might be, just I look forward to it. You can help me get through it. Turn to Psalms 100. As I'm turning there, it's kind of cool. I got these, just thinking about how the Lord is good. I got so many little notes from my kids in here over the years. I should embarrass them and read them all. No, I won't do that. So Psalms 100, and of course my second point, or third point about God's good. And this is actually one of the verses was our theme verse for when I taught about David and Goliath. But Psalms 100 says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Knowing ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves, we are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Verse 5. "For the Lord is good." Yes. "His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." All generations. Until the Lord comes back. Now, don't you sometimes think that, you think of, man, Moses and that story, that was so long ago. Like, but the Lord can work in your life too. Right? It says it right there in black and white. All generations. The Lord is good into all generations. Every one of us. He is good. He is always good. Then you're thinking, yeah, the Lord is good, but you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, guess what? God is big enough to take care of our burdens. You ever thought about that? How God is ultimately the biggest thing ever to happen, and he can take care of you? Take care of your little measly burden that you got? He can take care of it. Well, I just don't know what to do with that burden. Right here, here's an altar. Give it to him. Just say, Lord, here it is. I give it to you. All yours. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know, but you can talk to your Savior. Come up to the front of the altar and give it to him. Just watch to see what the Lord's going to do in your life. But are you willing? Are you willing? We have a place to take our burdens, and we can dump them at the altar. You can dump them right here. Well, I'm kind of embarrassed to go up front. I don't want everybody to know what's going on. Pray right there in your seat. Give it to the Lord. I just don't know what else to do. Come to the altar. Give it to the Lord. Psalms, if you turn there, Psalms chapter 56 or 55 first. Verse 22 of Psalms 55 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Well, it's, you know, it's words on the page. Well, there has to be some faith there, and you have to believe it. But cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. A few verses down in chapter 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in who? Thee. Pretty afraid right now. It's very difficult. I know you're big enough. I can leave it on the altar. I can pray to you for guidance and direction. You can sustain me. But at the same time, I'm afraid. But Lord, at the end of the day, I trust you. Right? Romans 12, 12, just like, Miss Lori, right? Romans, verse 12, it's just to kind of quote it, but not in detail, but it's rejoice in hope, right? Continuing in prayer, rejoice in the hope that is there for us, right? Because God is good. So keep singing and praising him, giving it to in prayer. Because guess what? God is enough. He is enough. Now, it's easier for you to say that you're up here saying that. Well, it's difficult to say it from up here, but, you know, Stan or the Jordan pastor, because, I mean, if we're saying it, we need to believe it. And we do believe it because God is good and God is strong and God is merciful and God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all there to help us through it. I'll give you this quote. I like to listen to preaching on the road every time I get a chance. I'm on the road quite a bit. And one of my favorite pastors is Pastor Kenny Baldwin. I don't know if you've, yeah, Crossroads Baptist Church. And it was a message about Christians not accepting the fact of what they go through in their life, not giving it to the Lord, and really struggling with that. And he had this quote that I thought really struck me kind of hard, but he says this, the most miserable person on planet Earth is a lost man headed to hell. Wrong, he says. The most miserable person on Earth is a Christian headed to heaven, living like he's going to hell. Woo! And I thought, man, is my testimony in a way when I'm going through something difficult, where the person who is not saved sees, well, what's the difference? He's miserable. He's not really, I guess, supposedly doing this Christian thing. And I thought, wow, man. We need to ensure that we give it to him because we don't want to definitely live like that. But I listened to that message and I thought that was very powerful. And that quote for sure, because, yeah, it's not good. We need to live for Christ and we need to act like it. Right? Amen. So lastly, what I'll leave you with is this specific little diagram that I got. It's in part of the devotional things that I'm reading, and I thought it was a good thing. Hopefully you can see that, but who believes soap's a good thing? right? Okay. What does soap do? Cleans the dirt off, right? It gets you clean. And I thought, oh, that's kind of like a cool little word. What do you call those things? Word? Acronyms. Yeah, duh. I got those at work all the time. Acronyms for everything. But okay, so soap, right? So number one, scripture. Identify a scripture that speaks to you. Is there a scripture that speaks to you guys? You know, every time you read it, you know? I mean, the one about Moses and that, you know, the Lord fights for you. It's like that one just went poof, and I've read it who knows how many times, right? Observation. What do you observe about the scripture you just read? Was there any kind of some things that never have come to light before that were like, oh, that's great, man, Lord, thank you for giving me that way? Application. How can you apply the scripture to your life? Now, what I just read, now how can I apply that for the week or the day or even for my life, right? And lastly, prayer. Pray about what you have read and ask him to help you apply the truth in your life. Very simple. Acronym SOAP. So there you have it. So the next time you're taking a shower, you're getting yourself clean, yeah, scripture, right? You know, kind of come to light for you. But just know that the difficulties that you go through in your life, God is good. God is there. God is to help you. As we look into 2024 to finish strong, keep plowing, look unto him for guidance and direction, because he can give you the power to get through it. But are you willing and are you ready to pray about it, sing about it, and that the Lord can get you through whatever you're going through in 2024? Because we can do it together. We're going to see this place grow. We're going to see some bulldozers back here start moving some ground. Oh, man, amen. And then see the youth going, see the young adult continue to grow. Wasn't that amazing this morning, them singing? Man, they sounded, I mean, that was good stuff. Yeah, and let me tell you, anytime we get a chance to kind of hear a little bit of a cappella in there, oh, I just go back to the fact that one day we'll get to hear millions and millions of people sing unto the Lord a cappella style. Woohoo! Man, praise the Lord. God's good. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for those that are here. I do pray that, Lord, if there's one not here today, does not know you, you are good to them too. And Father, I pray that they'll come to know you as Savior. For thinking of the gospel, Father, the death and burial, resurrection, and how you died for each and every one of us and for the sins that we have done. And Lord, we just invite those that are here tonight that if they do not know you, today can be the day of salvation. And Lord, we again thank you for those that are here. I pray that you just bless them mightily, give us a good week, watch over us and take care of us. And we give you the honor and glory for all that you've done for us. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Brother?
What a great challenge. God has a plan for our lives. And you know, difficulties are going to be a part of it. Again, you know, so many times when I preach, I just see it and it's there. And, you know, there's a pattern. I mean, God is trying to strengthen us. And we're going to have to go through some things. And so as we trust him, our faith grows. But it's just tremendous to hear that tonight. You know, we have this challenge before us. Yeah, January is almost over. Hopefully you're not thinking, oh, well, I can't reset right now. We're almost, you know, I'll have to wait till next January 1st. No, right now, make a plan to just turn your life to the Lord, walk with him. I know many of you do. I hope I can say all of you do. But maybe if you're still hanging out there, just turn it to the Lord and just rejoice at what he's doing because he has a plan. And, you know, as I've said many times, and it was so well said tonight by Brother Jason, is God has a plan, so he's doing something. So just trust that and just yield to him, and then you just watch what he does with it. And again, that story there in Acts chapter 16 with, you know, with Paul and Silas was such a great example of that. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and take a hymn, and we're going to sing. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's spoken to you about what was preached, about just going through some things in our life, but knowing that God has a plan, and maybe you just need to submit that to him. Well, coming to the altar is great. You can certainly do it there at your seat, but if God has moved you and spoken to your heart, then please respond to Him. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior, 2024, what a great year to get saved and to trust Christ as your personal Savior. And so we would persuade you. We would encourage you and exhort you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We would love to show you up here from the Bible, from the Word of God, how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll respond tonight as we sing. Brother Stan, if you'll come and lead us. Thank you, brother.